All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 49, the next to the last chapter in the book of Genesis. Genesis 49, please. All right, you having trouble with Genesis or 49? Which is it?
49.
49? You might want to take your shoes off, John, all right?
No, don't do that.
Do what did he say?
No, don't do that.
Oh, no, right, don't do that. All right, everybody there? Okay, look, please, if you will, at verse 8. And let me just tell you what's happening here. Jacob is... now an old man, and he's dying, and so he is in bed. He knows that, you know, he's just got a few days left. If you look at verse 1, and then in verse 2, it says, "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." So Jacob is going to now pronounce his blessing, so to speak, or he's going to bless each individual son, each individual tribe. And basically what he's doing here is he is telling them what the future holds for that specific tribe. And if you look at verse 3, you'll see he talks about Reuben. And Reuben was the firstborn. And then in verse 4, he said, "You're as unstable as water." And boy, he sure was. And then you have Simeon and Levi. And both of them were blessed at the same time. It was not a very good thing he had to say about them either. If you look at verse 5, he said that they were instruments of cruelty that are in their habitation. So they had those in their group who were some pretty rotten folks, all right? And then down in verse 8, we have the fourth son, and that's Judah. And Judah is, Jacob's announcement on him is what I would like to preach about tonight. So look, please, at verse 8, and Jacob now looks at Judah and says to him, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee." Judah is a lion's whelp. "From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion who shall rouse him up." Now watch verse 10 carefully. This is the text verse that I want to use tonight. Jacob goes on to say, "The scepter," now what's the scepter? That's the royal emblem. It's the royal rod, if you will. And it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet." So the tribe of Judah was chosen by God to be the royal tribe. The kings would come from the tribe of Judah. And in the beginning with David, when both of the tribes, they were all together, the 12 northern tribes, the Judah and Benjamin, the southern tribes, and they were all together. First, The men of Judah came and asked David to be their king, and David agreed. And then the men of Israel came, and they asked David to be their king. And during that time, they were ruled by the man who was from the tribe of Judah. All right, then after David, who was next? Solomon, exactly. His son Solomon was then chosen to be the king when David died. And Solomon was the king of both the northern tribes and the southern tribes. So again, you had a member of the tribe of Judah who ruled over both nations. All right, now after that, you had the Boam boys. Remember them, Jeroboam and Rehoboam? All right, their last name wasn't Boam, but you get the point, don't you? That way you won't forget it. All right, so you had Rehoboam, and he took Judah, and then Jeroboam split and became Israel, the 10 tribes to the north. Now, when they split, then they chose kings of their own. They were separated now from Judah. They didn't want anything to do with Judah, which ended up being just a horrible thing for them and ultimately led to their destruction. But anyway, Judah remained under the family, under the tribe of Judah. All those kings that you read about in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, all of those kings that you read about, which were the heads of Judah, all of those guys were all descendants of the tribe of Judah. And so that's the point. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, folks, think about it for just a moment. When our Lord comes back, raptures the church to heaven, and then we go up and then spend 7 years in heaven with the Lord, we then come back with the Lord Jesus, and when he comes back, it is to defeat the Antichrist and all of his armies. And then we read throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that the Lord Jesus is going to establish his throne, his rule upon the throne of David, right? Where's David from? Judah. So when the Bible says the scepter shall not depart from Judah, that was Old Testament, but wait a minute, that's also in the future. When our Savior sits down upon the throne of David, he will hold in his hand the scepter of Judah. All right, reading on. And then it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Now, I'll explain Shiloh to you in just a little bit. But then it says, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. All right, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you tonight from this 10th verse. I'm going to call the message tonight, a clear prophecy about Jesus, because that's exactly what it is. All right, let's pray. Our Father, now thank you for the word, and I pray that you will bless this to our hearts tonight. Father, we love you so much, and we just want to thank you for your blessings and all that you have done for us. And Father, I pray that you'll help us this evening to have our faith strengthened and increased as a result of hearing your precious word. So, Father, bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, let's keep our Bible open here to verse 10. And I want to take this 10th verse and show you that when Jacob was speaking here to his son Judah, which eventually became the tribe of Judah, he said some amazing things that were not just for Judah, but were looking way down the road to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we've learned on Wednesday nights, and I hope you remember this. I hope you'll never forget this. We have learned in our Wednesday night Bible studies that the Bible is all about Jesus. Amen. From beginning to end. Folks, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all of the Bible is a book that is all about Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible is filled with promise after promise of the Lord Jesus coming as our Redeemer. You'll remember that we started looking at the pictures in Genesis, and we saw right in the beginning here, chapter 1 and verse 1, that Jesus was in the shadows. You take the light of the New Testament and you shine that light upon Genesis 1:1-3, and there is the Lord Jesus standing there as clear as a bell. John said in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things, folks. And that's exactly what Moses said in Genesis 1:1-3. So all of the Bible is filled with the promises of Christ coming as our Redeemer. The scriptures talk about his first advent. But wait a minute, they also talk about his second advent in types, in pictures, in shadows, in figures, and of course, by just direct prophetic statements, the Old Testament declares to us that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, was coming into this world so that he could pay the penalty that all of us owe for sin. And so here in Genesis 49, when we get near the end of the first book of the Bible, is one of those direct prophetic statements given about the coming of the Messiah. Now, the prophecy that was spoken here was given by Jacob. You remember Jacob had his name changed to Israel, and he became the namesake of the nation. All right, so here is Jacob on his deathbed, and he calls his sons in one by one to come to the bedside so that he could bless each son before he passed away. Now, keep in mind that these 12 sons of Jacob would comprise the 12 tribes of Israel, of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, or of Jacob, which became eventually the nation of Israel. Now, in verse 10, Jacob is going to announce his blessing upon Judah, and in that blessing, he is revealing to us that eventually the Savior, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords one day would come. Now, also in this prophecy is the prediction that from Judah's descendants will come the kings of the nation. as well as eventually the King of Kings, the great King, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So plainly put, what we see here is the Lord announcing and telling us through Jacob's prophecy that the Lord Jesus would come as the King of Israel. Actually, he's going to be the King of the world. And that part of the prophecy is going to be fulfilled when the Lord Jesus returns with his saints to do battle against the armies of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. And when that battle is over and the Messiah is victorious, then King Jesus is going to walk into the new temple and he will sit down upon the throne of David, where he will rule this earth, rule and reign for 1,000 years. Man, what a plan God has. What a wonderful plan God has. And folks, we're going to get in on all that. So look, we've got something to look forward to, don't we? All right. Now, verse 10 gives us three important things that I want you to notice tonight about this throne, about the throne that Jacob said would be the royal throne, and that Judah would be the royal tribe. So let me point out these things to you this evening. First of all, I want you to see the continuity in the throne. The continuity in the throne. Look carefully at the first phrase here. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Beginning with David, who was a direct descendant of Judah. That's what the book of Ruth is all about, showing us that King David was a direct descendant of Jacob, all right? And so first line in this prophecy tells us that beginning with David, the scepter has not departed the throne, and it never will. All right, just plainly put. Now, you might remember that when Samuel was the last of the judges in the book of 1 Samuel, and you remember that the people came to him, and they said, Samuel, we want a king so we can be like all the other nations. And Samuel said, well, I'm going to have to talk to God about that. And so he did. And God said, you tell them, no, I'm to be their king. They don't need a man to lead them. They need me to lead them. So you go tell them, I said, no. And so Samuel did. And they weren't happy. And they protested and they said, no, we want a king like all the other nations around us. And so Samuel went back and he talked to God again. And God said, all right, I'll let you give them a king. But this king is going to be like them. This king is not going to have characteristics like me, but this king is going to be carnal and fleshly and worldly like the people. And that's exactly what God gave them in King Saul. All right? So Saul was Israel's first king. And you'll remember that did not work out too well, did it? It did not work out well at all. And so the people said, give us a king. And so God did. But wait a minute. What did Jacob say in that great prophecy in our text? He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Exactly right. Now, what tribe was Saul from? You remember? Benjamin, exactly right. And so Benjamin, that's the wrong tribe. And I've said to you many times that the tribe of Benjamin always attached itself to Judah. And the reason that they did is because the Benjamites were homosexuals, many of them. They were homosexuals. And that's why they were the runt tribe. Amen.
Amen.
All right? It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That's right.
All right? And so, plainly put, they were the runt tribe. And the reason why is because of their homosexuality. And so, so Benjamin was the world tribe. It was the carnal tribe. And Jacob said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. So when Samuel made a mockery and a mess out of the throne, Samuel was sent down to the house of Jesse, who just happened to be from the tribe of Judah, and he was sent there to anoint one of Jesse's sons. And God told Samuel that he would find Jesse in the little town of Bethlehem of Judea, in the city of Bethlehem of Judah. The right king was chosen to sit on the throne in Saul's stead. David, the shepherd boy, became Israel's great king. Now, since King David, the tribe of Judah has remained the tribe of Judah's kings. They did not go outside from David on. They did not go outside the tribe to find a ruler, to find a king. Why? Because the scepter shall not depart from Judah. All right? So after Solomon died, the nation split into two separate nations. Well, then the tribes of Benjamin and Judah became the southern kingdom and took on the name of just Judah. And the other 10 tribes to the north took on the name of Israel. They took on Jacob's given name by the angel of the Lord. And so the southern tribe, Judah, remained the kingdom of divine promise. You see, Judah was where Jerusalem was built. Judah was where the great temple that King Solomon built stood in the heart of the old city. And every king who sat on the throne of Judah, all through your Old Testament scriptures, every one of them was a direct descendant of Judah, who was Jacob's fourth son. Now listen, folks, no other tribe ever had a person as king of the nation of Judah. No other person from any other tribe ever became the king in Judah. In other words, this prophecy was fulfilled to its very fullest. And from David until our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, was born in Bethlehem's manger. From David until Christ was born, the scepter did not depart from Judah. All right, you got that now? Okay, second thing we see here. So the scepter shall not depart, but look at the next bit of the verse, and let me show you something else. So we have the scepter shall not depart from Judah, but now look here, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. All right, now, from that little statement, until Shiloh come, I want to take my second thought. And my second thought is this. I want you to look now at the climax of the throne. Now, we saw the continuity. And once David was on that throne, all their kings, and it's going to be consistent. One of these days, the King of Kings is coming back. And the King of Kings is going to sit on Judah's throne, on the king, on the throne of David. But now, secondly, let's look at the climax. And you'll notice here, the scepter shall not depart until Shiloh come. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I don't want you to miss the meaning of this statement. It's very important that you understand this. This does not mean that Judah will stop having the throne when Shiloh comes to reign upon the throne. That's not what it's saying at all. What that verse is saying is that Shiloh is the climax. He is the last one. He is it. All this other was nothing more than typology. It was just figure. It was just representation of the one who is the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, you understand that? So this does not mean that Judah will stop having the throne when Shiloh comes to reign upon the throne, but it is simply saying that Shiloh is the climax. He is it. Now, you say, well, Pastor, who is this Shiloh character? Who is this? All right. This term Shiloh, of course, is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me take a minute here and tell you what I found out this week about that little word. I think I knew this, but I had forgotten it for sure. The word Shiloh means this. All right, are you ready? Here's what Shiloh means. It means he whose it is. All right, now think about that. That's kind of a twist, but you'll get it. He, and of course that he is the Lord, he whose, W-H-O-S-E, he whose it is. Wonder what the it is.
Throne.
Huh?
The throne.
The throne, exactly. That's exactly what it is. So when David was on that throne, well, that was good because David was from Judah. But it wasn't all about getting David on that throne. What it was all about was through David getting the Shiloh here 2,000 years ago so that he could die on the cross so that he could provide a salvation for you and for me. But even that was not what everything about it. No, it was looking down the road at least 2,000 years from tonight to when the Lord comes back, takes the church out, then the wrath comes, the judgment comes upon the earth, and then the Lord Jesus with his church comes back, and then he sits down upon the throne to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's what it's all about, folks. It's about getting, just like it was with Saul and David, it's about getting the right king on the throne. All right? Let me show you another picture real quick. Do you remember in the book of the Revelation, there is this creature that is called the beast, the Antichrist. And that Antichrist, during the tribulation period, when the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds and calls all of us home, then we're in heaven and the Antichrist is going to rise up. There will be no church. Folks, listen, when we go, the Holy Spirit of God goes with us. And there will not be a Holy Spirit here to hold the devil in check. And so he's going to run just crazy. And this Antichrist is going at the midpoint of the tribulation period. That Antichrist is going to sit down upon the throne in the new temple that they're going to build. And he's going to declare himself to be God. Paul tells us about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he tells us that he is going to sit upon the throne of God as if he was God. And then God the Father is going to look down and he's going to say, "Hey, son, that thing down there is not from the royal tribe. That thing sitting on the throne down there, he's not from Judah." Well, you're going to have to, just like David was called and because Saul was not of the right tribe. And so he was kicked off the throne, and David was anointed by Samuel to be the king, the right king, because the scepter shall not depart from Judah. And in the same vein, during the tribulation period, God the Father is going to look at the throne in Jerusalem and is going to say, "Wait a minute, the wrong king is on the throne." And that's when the Lord Jesus comes back, and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil are all grabbed by the nape of the neck and cast into the lake of fire.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Isn't that good?
That's right.
Indeed. All right, so folks, that's the climax. You see, Jacob looked way down the road and saw many centuries of time passed. And through the centuries from Jacob to the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem of Judea. And then he looked beyond that to the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the king. And then he looked to the resurrection, and then he looked to the ascension into heaven, and then looked even beyond that to another at least 2,000 years from tonight, to when the king would return to this earth and sit down upon the throne of David as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So folks, King Jesus is not just going to rule, though, over Israel during that millennium. He's going to rule over the entire world for 1,000 years. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "Well, Pastor, the United Nations is not going to like that." All right, but they're not going to have a say in it. Amen. They're not going to have a say in it. You say, "Well, Pastor, the European Union, they're not going to like it when Jesus sits down and says that he's going to rule the entire world. Well, I can tell you right now that those spiritually blind fools will have no say in what transpires once our Savior comes back. Amen. None whatsoever. They do not have a voice. And you're probably going to be surprised, probably, the next morning after the Savior takes the throne, because the headlines of the New York Times is probably in total submission going to say, King Jesus fulfills Genesis 49:10 as he sits as king on David's throne. Amen. Man, I can't wait. Can you? All right, one more thing we need to see here. I want you to take your Bible, hold your place here, but I want you to take your Bible and I want you to go over to the Psalms. Go to Psalm number 2, first of all. Psalm 2. Let me just show you clearly about this Shiloh. All right, now what's the word mean? It means he whose it is. He whose it is. All right, now let's just see what the Bible has to say here. All right, look at Psalm 2, and let's begin in verse 1. All right, Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Boy, they're going to get the surprise of their life, aren't they? And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But here's God's response. God says, are you kidding me? God says, there's no way. You're going to mess with me? I created you. Amen. And you're going to mess with me? Well, I'm telling you, that's a losing proposition. And it's, the psalmist said in verse 4, he, God, that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He's going to laugh at their intent to overthrow the throne. It's not going to happen. Then he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my, what? King. God says, I have set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. And folks, that's where the temple stood, and that's where the new temple is going to stand. And that's where King Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And so God says that he is going to set his king. So it doesn't make any difference what the United Nations has to say. God has a plan, and nothing is going to thwart that plan. Look over at Psalm 8 for just a moment and look at verse 1. In verse 1 of Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the earth. But look down at verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So it doesn't make any difference what the European Union thinks about God's plan. It's going to happen. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what this Bible is all about. It's all about your redemption, my redemption, and how God, through the tribe of Judah, sent his son to die on Calvary's cross so we could be saved. And then the day is coming when that king is going to come back and is going to rule the world.
Amen.
Look at another one. Look at Psalm 19. Go to Psalm 19. All right, look at this one. Look at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. Go down to verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, it doesn't make any difference what the Democrats think. Doesn't. Not a bit. It's not going to matter one hoot what any of them think. King Jesus is going to sit upon that throne. He whose it is. And folks, every one of these verses that I just read for you out of the Psalms, each and every one of them show us whose it is. This world is his. We are his. The fowls of the air are his. The wind that blows is his. The water that flows through the stream, that's his. It all belongs to him.
Amen.
And one day he's going to come and he's going to claim it.
Amen.
He's going to claim us. He's going to claim the earth. It's all going to be taken over by the Lord Jesus. The devil robbed it, stole it away, but the Lord Jesus is going to take it all back. And there will be no need of a king after King Jesus. Everything, folks, everything, please understand this, everything has been building towards the day when King Jesus sits down on David's throne to rule. And then one more thing. All right, we look first of all at the continuity of the throne. And then secondly, we looked at the climax of the throne. And then thirdly, I want you to note the conquering by the throne. You see, the last part of verse 10, the last part of my text, Genesis 49 and verse 10, the last part tells us, "And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And in that little phrase, we see the conquering by the throne. You see, folks, this gathering of the people is going to happen during the millennial reign of our King. I did a little checking into this statement, and I found that the way that this is expressed in the Hebrew language, it is referring to a gathering of people who are in complete submission to the Lord Jesus. Totally, totally yielded to the Lord. Folks, just imagine. You get to heaven for 7 years at the rapture. And just imagine, we stand around the throne and we listen as in one chorus we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And we stand and look into the face and see the nail-pierced hands. We see the scars on his forehead. I can just imagine as we are standing there looking at him and realizing that everything we heard and believed has now come true. And we are around the throne of God. Can you imagine that day? There will be a joy in our hearts. There will be a smile on our face. And then the Lord Jesus says, it's time to go. Where are we going? We're going down to reclaim what the devil stole. We're going down to get what's rightfully mine. We're going down to take he whose it is. And so they step out, the Lord Jesus leading the pack, and all of us come with him. And so in one, that's what this means, in one. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In other words, folks, when we come back to fight at the Battle of Armageddon, when we come back with the Lord Jesus, there's not going to be any selfishness on our part. There's not going to be anyone who's going to say, well, I'm going to go and get me a big part of this kingdom. No, you're going to be in total submission to him. Whatever he wants, that's going to be okay with you. Total submission. And we're just going to let God finally be God. And this not only involves the nation of Israel, folks, but it involves the whole world. And I say this because it is clear that during the millennial reign of Shiloh of Christ, the entire world is going to be under his rule. He will not only reign over the nation of Israel, but he'll reign and rule over the entire world. And the wonderful thing is that you and I are going to reign and rule with him for that 1,000 years. Shiloh, he whose it is, the one that owns the earth, the land, the seas, everything that is in the earth. That's our Shiloh. And folks, this will mark the greatest day in the history of mankind. And trust me, folks, everyone who is listening to me tonight, everyone who will watch this over the internet, whether you're in the church house or whether you're listening over the internet or you're listening on a CD or FBN plays this message on the radio somewhere out in the future, I want you to know, if you know Christ is your Savior, you're going to be in that millennium with him. Amen. You're going to be with him. And I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you don't want to miss it. So you better give your heart to the Lord. You don't want to miss it. Now, one more verse. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah for just a moment. Chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. You see, folks, every attempt that man has made to govern himself has eventually, ultimately, failed. It's eventually failed. Communism, democracy, representative government, a republic, socialism, fascism, Nazism, it's all been tried, and it's all been tried many times throughout the millennial, the millennium, but every time these have put it into operation, every time sinners have put it into operation, something falls apart. And then people have to usurp control. And then, I mean, even if they have to do it by force, and then what happens most of the time is that a lot of people end up getting killed. And folks, that's where we're headed in this revolution that Kamala Harris wants to take us to. That's exactly where we're headed, because the American people are not going to sit and be pushed into communism.
Yes, sir.
When they say that we want to move towards socialism, that's a lie.
Right.
They don't want to move towards socialism. They want full out-and-out communism. Now, you write that down.
Amen.
That's what their goal is. You say, well, it doesn't work. Yeah, but here's their thinking. It doesn't work because we haven't tried it yet. It'll work when we do it. No, it won't. No, it won't. But every time, folks, every time, people end up getting killed. Every time. But every time something gets into the machinery of whatever is being pawned off on an unsuspecting society, and ultimately death and disaster is what follows. All right, now, let me show you how this thing ends, all right? Look at chapter 9 of Isaiah, and look, if you will, please, at verse 6. Let's start at verse 6. All right, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born." All right, now, look at me. That was 2,000 years ago. All right, but it was prophesied by Isaiah 2,740 years ago. All right, so 740 years after Isaiah said these words, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. God gave us his son, the Lord Jesus. All right? "For unto us a child is born." That's the incarnation of Christ, that God became man. "And unto us a son is given." John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." So that's God giving us his son, the Lord Jesus, as our Redeemer. All right, now watch. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now that hasn't happened yet, folks. All right? You go back 2,000 years ago and a child was born. And then a son was given, the Son of God. He was given on the cross for you, for me. But then the next part says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." The next thing to happen is the rapture. Then you've got 7 years of tribulation. And then you've got the Lord Jesus coming back with all of us. And then he sits down upon the throne and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. So when Isaiah said, "For unto us a son is given," he was talking about the Lord Jesus and his incarnation. "Unto us a son is born." That was Jesus being born in Bethlehem's manger. All right? But then he said that the government shall be upon his shoulder. So that's the millennium. All right, now watch this, folks. This is the part that just blows me away. It says that once the government is upon his shoulder, his name shall be called, what's the next word?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Now, have you ever heard this world call our Savior wonderful? We do, but boy, the world doesn't. Those of us who know Him, we call Him wonderful, but the world doesn't. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. So from beginning to the end of that millennium, wow, there He is, wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And watch this now. Upon the throne of who? David. And upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. Boy, we don't have that now, do we? Not even remotely close. But we will have when the right king is sitting upon the throne. All right, so I want you just to imagine this, folks. When the millennium begins, just imagine the Apostle Peter comes out before the press and he says to the press, the Lord Jesus is going to be making a statement. The battle's over. The Antichrist is dead. The beast is dead. The false prophet. And then we've cast the devil into hell. And so, sure enough, all the cameras are there. Everybody's got their pad and their cell phone. And then the Lord Jesus walks out, and the Lord Jesus looks at the crowd, and He says from the throne room in Jerusalem, I'll take some questions now. And who would dare? I mean, who would dare to ask the Son of God a question? They all stand there looking at Him just in awe at what He has done. I mean, think about it, folks. Al NBC is there, and Al CBS is there, and Al Reuters is there, and Al the New York Times is there. I mean, they're all there. Do you have a question? And nobody will. So the Lord Jesus is going to look at the crowd and say, okay, since there are no questions, let me outline for you my program for the next 1,000 years. Let's see the Democrats do that. And King Jesus will then tell the world His plan. When He's done, He will turn and leave, and all those reporters will stand there stunned. The world has been watching. And they take their cell phones in the offices, and they call their reporters who are still standing there in awe. And when the reporter answers, the editors say, with the greatest of anticipation, well, what did he say? What do you think? How is this King Shiloh? How is King Jesus? And the only thing that reporter is going to be able to say is this. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He is God. And folks, the whole world is going to know then that Jesus is the King. So what a prophecy Jacob gave us. May God help us to hide that in our hearts. Folks, the day is coming when the victory will be ours. I've told you and told you and told you. When you get discouraged, just go over to Revelation, read the back of the book. And when you read the back of the book, we win. We're not going to win here. We're just not. We're just not. The Lord Jesus said so. And we're going to lose some battles down here. But we're going to win the war.
Amen.
Because we're on the right side. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. And we thank you for all these great promises that are ours. And Father, we read in these Psalms, we read that the earth is yours. Man, we were created in your image by you. So we're yours. The birds of the air, they're yours. The beasts of the field, they're yours. He whose it is, Shiloh. And not one day Shiloh will return and will sit down upon the throne. And Father, we rejoice in the knowledge of that coming day. So bless the word of God. Draw us close to you and help us to be excited about what's coming. We're on the winning side. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.